Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Linda F. from Encinitas.
Hi, I'm Linda. I'm an alcoholic from Encinitas. I am Linda Finnell. I'm more than happy to have everybody know my name and friend me on Facebook. I've gotten a lot of recovery and stuff from there, so I'm a little nervous. This is my first time doing this, and I've got my notes, and my girls are here, so... But this is certainly not how I used to spend my Saturday night. So when I first was called, I'm not sure who called, and it was a Thursday. He said, can you speak on Saturday? I was like, no. Oh, just panic. He goes, no, not Saturday. Next Saturday, meaning this one. And that gave me a month. Oh, yeah, I could do that. I could do that in a month. I could figure it out. And so what was I doing today at 2 o'clock? What the hell am I going to talk about? So, but when he, after I had made the commitment to be the 10-minute speaker, I was driving to, I do Del Mar Lunch Bunch, and I was driving Manchester Avenue, getting on the 5, and an old song that I love took me right back to the days when I first started drinking, and it was by Carole King, It's Too Late, laid in bed all morning just to pass the time. There's something wrong here. There can be no denying. And, you know, how many can associate with that? That was me. And so that song, you know, I remember hearing that song thinking, it's not going to mean to me in 20 years what it means to me today, but I like it. I don't know why I like it so much, but I like it. And, thinking about where my alcoholism started, I had to realize I was 14, sitting out in my mom's backyard with a string bikini, out in the neighborhood, no fences or anything, and a guy in a cute sports car comes along, and to me it was a cute sports car, it's a convertible, and a friend of my brother's, and, you know, so we went to the city park, and got 40 ounces, I guess they're 40 ounces, big bottles of beer, and we just chugged them down, and we thought it was so cool with our little transistor radios and crackling and listening to Carole King and whoever else was cool at that time. And I just thought I had the case to the kingdom. Here I am, I got these boys, and the football players are big guys, and they're chugging, and I'm chugging, and I don't know how my mother didn't know I was hungover, but I think she was just glad that she knew I wasn't pregnant. And I hadn't discovered that yet. As the summer got closer to being over, I, you know, let my friends know this is just a one-time gig until next summer, you know, and so the summer ends, I was tanned, had, the keys to the kingdom, like I said, and the keys to my kingdom was my bathing suit, my friends, and a way to just escape, have fun, and, you know, the following summer comes along, and it's the same thing. Only my kingdom's a little bigger because now I can sneak in bars. In upstate New York, at the time, your ID, your driver's license was just paper driver's license. It didn't have your picture on it. So if you could find someone who was 20 years, 30 years older than you, if your physical characteristics matched theirs, you could get in. Or if you knew the owner, you could get in. It was a small town. And so the game stayed the same. We'd drink. But this time I just thought I was beyond cool because now I'm sneaking in a bar. And I'm not drinking fast. I'm drinking like a lady, and I'm not paying for my drinks. And this went on for a couple summers. And the hangovers, and always in the back of my mind, I could hear that song. It used to be so easy living here with you. You were light and breezy, and I knew just what to do. And that's how it was. That's my alcoholism. That's how it started, being 14, drinking for fun. It was light and easy, drinking, fun. It didn't become fun. It didn't stay fun. And by the time I was, and so it says, you know, and then for the next couple of years, I tried drinking like a lady because I just couldn't handle the hangovers. I had a boyfriend who ended up marrying and divorcing. But he, you know, we would sneak into bars, and I couldn't handle it. So I was a little, you know, a little more easy when it came to drinking. But it was still there. The minute I had a drink, it was on. That obsession was on. And by the time I was 18, I was married and had a baby. And 6 years later, I had a second baby. So I spent a little time drinking at home. I just didn't want these little boys to be aware that their mother was a total loser. But I was still at that point, not understanding that I was carrying around that spiritual malady, that hole in the pit of my stomach. And so as my boys got settled, I decided that being the overachiever I was going to go to college because it had been 11 years that I'd been in college, and I was going to finally get my degree. And after 11 years, I did. And I started drinking a lot. I was living up in Portland at the time. And again, the invincibility shield. you know, and that I'm out drinking, driving, holding court with all my friends. But when I got home, I'd be forced to look at these two young men and wondering, you know, what's mom doing? And how the hell did you drive on two flat tires? And I drove on two flat tires with the rims, and I held on the steering wheel so hard that my both arms were bruised. I had no idea. I don't know how I got the flat tire, and I didn't want to hear about it, certainly the next day. And, you know, within about 15 years that does drinking on and off, I moved down here, and I figured I did the geographical. Whatever that hole in the pit of my stomach I had, I left it up in Portland. Moved down here, got this beautiful house. And it wasn't. My destruction went on, and I got a second DUI. And that, even then, wasn't enough to make me stop drinking. But it did make me realize I probably needed to do something. It was creating havoc. The way that I was feeling, it was the grim reaper of my soul. I just couldn't do this anymore. So I got myself to an AA meeting, and I took a look at all the 12 steps, and I thought, hell no, I'm not doing 12 steps. I don't have time for this. 12 steps? So I just looked at the ones that were going to work for me, and if it had anything to do with God in it, I X'd it out. So I would do one. Two, I couldn't do two because it was going to restore me to sanity. I'd never been sane. That was just not going to work for me. Three, I already made a decision that I'm fucked up. There's no God. Four and five, someone had said, well, you know, you go tell a perfect stranger, but tell your story, take your inventory. And there was kind of a cute guy at Vons, and I thought, maybe I'll do this. Look, I got something to say. You won't be an accomplice. There won't be anything that, you know, you don't have to tell anybody. But I just need to tell this stuff out loud, and then we'll be done with it. So that's how I was going to do it. And since I stopped drinking, I needed six and seven. That were my character. That was my defense mechanism. So eight and nine, I'd make a list of who I had to make amends to and make that amends. But I wasn't going to make a single amends to anybody who ever pissed me off. If you did one thing to me, you weren't on the list. So that's how Linda ran Linda's program for 5 months. And guess how it worked? It didn't. So I finally gave in. For 5 months, I tried. And I just, you know, I kind of had this epiphany, like, if it works for everybody, then it should work for a wretch like me. So I'm going to give it a try, give it all I had. And it was told to me, the real keys to the kingdom were right here. These were the keys to the kingdom. This is what I needed to live my life. I don't have to choose on the wall what steps I'm going to take. It's right here, clear cut, concise directions. There's no loopholes. And if you think you can find an easier, softer way, seriously, if you think you can, let me know. And so I knew it might have taken me 11 years to get through college, but I knew that I could be a good student. And I did the steps the way they were written out. And as I accepted and was told to do what I was told to do, however she said to do it, my sponsor, she told me to do it at 7 o'clock in the morning, which she did a lot of times, that's how I did it. And before I knew it, I found a new way of life and a new feeling, something that I never thought I deserved, and it made sense. The outside wreckage had been gone for a while. Now it was the inside I needed to take care of. I looked on the outside like I was going to, everything was great. On the inside, I was just a mess, and I couldn't understand it because I was blocking the one thing, and that was God, a God of my understanding. And someone had said to me when she first came to the meeting, it's like, God must be an alcoholic. He's in every damn meeting. And, you know, and I've heard it over and over, get God or get fucked. And I thought, all right, well, that I'll try it. But I saw people, I saw the fellowship, and I saw the fun, and I heard smiles. And I thought, I want that. That's what I want, and I'm going to do whatever it takes. And I will get down on my knees and cut grass by hand if that's what they tell me to do. So that's exactly what I did. I found and that's when I said, I found the keys to the real keys to the kingdom here in the big book. And so as I accepted this commitment to speak on the radio again is Carol King. And what sticks out to me, and I'm not making this up, is there'll be good times again for me and you. We just can't be together. I'm glad for what we have and how I once loved you. And when I lost my booze, it was like I lost that abusive lover. How could you do it? How could it be the booze when it was the booze that was making me so happy? But today, 4 years later, I've become a top student of the steps. I've learned from a very good man, if you're ever up in Del Mar, Hugh Gallagher, has told us all, the elevator to the steps is broken, or to recovery is broken. You've got to take the steps. So what I have learned, all right, is that I'm going to ignore the bell, that nothing good ever comes riding in this shotgun in a bikini. Two, it is not cool to slug beer with football players. And that the number one thing, the keys to the kingdom are here for all of us. They're here in the big book, and it's a matter of how thoroughly and how quickly you want to do them, but they always come true if you work for us. So thank you very much. Yeah.